What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, obviously, the game on Sunday didn't go the way anyone wanted it to, but unfortunately, it went the way some of us are afraid that it might have, and the Chargers fell to the Texans 27-20 on Sunday in a game where, again, they had a lead in the second half, went into halftime leading 17-7, and found a way to lose the game in the second half. So to start the show today, we're just going to be talking generally about the game, and then in the second segment we'll get into a full-on recap of the game and go through all of the big plays from the game, and then we'll end the show just detailing all the moments that ended up going wrong for the Chargers and the big moments that swayed the game both ways. So let's go ahead and get into it, boys. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer from Locked On Chargers, bring you the news of the day, which is the Chargers fall to the Houston Texans 27-20. David, in another heartbreaking game where the Chargers have another one possession game that doesn't go their way. They were so good at it last season, and through three games, they've had 3 1 possession games. The Chargers are now 1-2 in those games and 1-2 on the season. And one thing that we saw in this game was the Chargers injuries in the secondary really catching up to them, David, and the turnovers on the opposite side of the field, the not being able to cash in when you're on the opponent side of the field, especially in the second half. The injuries and the missed opportunities once again, David, doomed the Chargers and led to them losing this game at home against the Texans.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a tale of two halves. I mean, the first half, they're rolling. Keenan Allen's all over the field, catching balls left and right, and they have a pretty good lead. You know, you feel comfortable. But then they go into the second half, and penalties and mistakes and all kinds of problems just creep up, and, you know, the Chargers lose another game. And you can't expect to win football games if you score 3 points in the second half. It's just not going to happen.
And they have now scored 3 points in the fourth quarter combined in all three of their games. They have averaged 1 point per fourth quarter so far this season, which is not going to win you football games in this league. And really, it was a domination of the second half that gave the Texans 20 unanswered points that the Chargers failed to come back to until it was too late. And David, the most frustrating thing about this game is the Chargers had a couple of really bright things going for them. They held Houston to only 39 yards rushing, one of the leading rushing teams in the NFL. They go 19 carries for only 39 yards, average just over 2 yards per carry. And then you have Keenan Allen, who goes for 13 catches, 183 yards and 2 touchdowns. When you put those things together, you would have thought before the game that would lead to a recipe of success against the Texans, because Keenan Allen, once again, through week three, has been one of the top 5 receivers in the NFL. He's taken his game to the next level. And this game, they really wasted a special type of game from Keenan Allen.
Yeah, they sure did. I mean, I'd mentioned before he was catching balls left and right. I mean, there's no other evidence to that than by looking at 13 catches, and not just, you know, catches for first downs on fourth down, getting yards after the catch, which you don't see a lot with Keenan Allen. He was absolutely unstoppable. He was unguardable in this game, and I think he is the best version of himself at this point in his NFL career.
He has to be. I mean, having the 3 touchdowns already this season, which is almost amounting to the total that he had last season already, and he's only 3 games in. And the Chargers actually ran the ball decently well. They ran the ball for over 4 yards a carry, but unfortunately, it's the same thing with the Chargers that we've been talking about, them playing Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in the second half and becoming a totally different team, where in 3 games this season, they've been outscored 45-10 in the second half. That is always going to catch up to you. They allowed their first 300-yard passer for the first time over the last few seasons. That really never happens against this Chargers secondary. And you saw a lot of plays with a guy like Roderick Teamer and Rayshon Jenkins, Brandon Faison, those guys getting mixed up. The Chargers repeatedly got beat up the seam by tight ends, three tight end touchdowns today. And the sloppy play of the Chargers finally catches up to them again. And this is not a winning brand of football by the Chargers. They know that. The coaching staff has to be better. There was some clock mismanagement in the second half again, which is something that's become somewhat of a trend for the Chargers. There was just so many things that went wrong in this game. And for the Chargers to give up those three touchdowns in the second half totally goes against everything we saw from them in the first half. And a lot of that was due to a lack of being able to put Deshaun Watson on the ground. And he ended up making them pay with extending plays and making just one big play after another, especially in the second half. And the Chargers fall to 1-2 on the season and now have to travel to probably the worst team in the league in the Miami Dolphins. So a little help right there from the schedule, but still you go 12-4 last year, and now you already have two losses in three games this year when you only lost four games all of last season. That cannot be considered in any way a positive for this team, who really looks like it's getting outclassed by the rest of its division with the mistakes that they're making. But we do have to get in, unfortunately, to a recap of this game coming up after this. But first, I need to tell you guys that if you want to go to the next game or whatever live event that you want to go to, you need to do it with Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. Right now, Vivid Seats is using their reward statuses ranging from MVP to Hall of Famer to give their customers bonuses for buying tickets with Vivid Seats, and customers can earn from 10% up to 16% credit on all of their purchases through the app. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program and will enjoy credits on all of their purchases as part of the Vivid Seats Rewards. All Vivid Seats are confirmed by a 100% guarantee, so you will never show up and be the one friend that couldn't get in because they accidentally bought a fake ticket. That'll never happen with Vivid Seats. And right now, we can save you some money on your seats because when you go to Vivid Seats and enter the promo code KICKOFF at checkout, all caps, you can receive a discount up to $100. Go make a memory that's going to last a lifetime and save some money by entering that promo code KICKOFF on the Vivid Seats app for up to $100 off. All right, guys, time to get into the second segment of the show, getting into what we do every week, going over the big plays from this game and doing a little game recap. It feels a lot better during this segment when the Chargers win, but unfortunately, they keep on having these games that really break the hearts of their fans and really struggle to put a performance on the field that matches the players that they have and the performances that they're getting out of those players. So let's go ahead and get into the game recap. The Chargers end up scoring first after they go 3-and-out on their first drive. The Texans come out and Deshaun Watson throws it backwards to his receiver. It was kind of throwing it away because the Chargers defense blew up the play. It ends up going backwards and Desmond King recovers it and starts running it towards the end zone. He ends up getting tackled by a lineman, but it did set up Keenan Allen for a filthy out route and an easy 7-yard touchdown to give the Chargers another first half lead, 7-0, getting on the board first as they've done in every game. And then on the next drive, Desmond King makes a great play on a wide receiver screen to Will Fuller, makes the Texans punt. And on the next Chargers possession, they go from first and goal to getting a penalty after Justin Jackson scored a touchdown on Dan Feeney, taking more points off the board because of a penalty again. And of course, it ends up with a field goal attempt after you had first and goal. They end up getting to second and 25 and the drive fizzled out. But Ty Long, to his credit, the punter who's playing kicker, comes in there and hits a 34-yard field goal to give the Chargers a 10-0 lead. On the next drive, Houston was really desperate, and on third and one, they run a flea flicker, John, that really changed the way this game felt. The Chargers defense had played pretty well, but they end up doing a flea flicker. Kenny Stills ends up running a little jet sweep action, turns it into a wheel route, and beats Roderick Teamer, who was getting his first start of the season at strong safety, and ends up going for 38 yards. They call up roughing the passer on Joey Bosa, which gave them additional yardage, and they end up getting an easy 16-yard pass to the tight end up the seam, John. A big play by the Texans when they needed it. The Chargers not coming through on third down, which has been an issue. And then another huge issue, John, that really played out throughout the game was running that cover three once you get close to your own end zone and having the Texans find a hole in that seam for an easy touchdown.
If you want to bring up just the red zone part of it with going cover three, then yeah, sure. But the whole field, really, they had this like prevent kind of defense going. You didn't really see an aggressive attack except for at the line of scrimmage. When it came to like our corners, they had them just sitting there in a zone, and Deshaun Watson was picking them apart. It was starting to look a little like the playoff game last year against the Patriots, and they never went to like a strong man coverage. They did in the first half, and it worked pretty well a little bit, but like the whole game, it was always this zone defense, and they did it in the second, third, or fourth drive of the game. But in the red zone, the cover three just didn't work with Deshaun Watson, who was able to pick it apart and find any way possible to get a receiver to catch the ball, even if it was a quick catch and run. It was really conservative play calling in my mind.
It was by Gus Bradley, and it really bit them in the ass in this game. It happened over and over again, it seemed like, and it's just so frustrating because you see miscommunication by the defensive backs and easy touchdown scored, and teams being able to just throw quick passes or passes up the seam to beat that, or you're just giving up an easy 7-yard completion. The Chargers are very eager almost at times to give up those easy passes. But before the half, the Chargers did drive down the field, and Phillip Rivers found Mike Williams on 3rd and 12 for 13 yards to convert on a nice throw and catch by Mike Williams. Keenan Allen does the rest on a 12-yard crossing route that he scores a touchdown on, ends up hitting the brakes on Jonathan Joseph and leaving him on the ground. But then on the next drive, the Texans get down the field way too easily. With 11 seconds left in the half, the Chargers defense let Deshaun Watson find Kenny Stills for a 37-yard gain that set up a 56-yard field goal for Kyahmi Fairbairn, but he misses the field goal, so the Chargers go into halftime 17-7. But it was another late-in-the-half situation where the Chargers give up really easy yards up the middle and set up more points for the Texans. They just didn't convert. So after halftime, the defense forced a 3-and-out, and then the Chargers do the same, coming out really uninspired offensively in the second half, going negative 8 yards on 3 plays to start the second half. And it just, you could see the second half Chargers really showing up. On the next drive, Deshaun Watson finds Will Fuller for 30-yard gain against Brandon Faison. Carlos Hyde ends up getting a short touchdown, and just like that, the Texans were back 14-17. On the next drive, Keenan Allen gets open for a 31-yard gain on 3rd and 13, where he catches it on the sideline. A great throw. Ends up staying inbounds somehow and gets up for 31 yards. After that, Phillip Rivers gets sacked on 3rd and 4, David, and he fumbled on the Houston 29-yard line. So again, in the last two games, the Chargers turn the ball over deep in enemy territory, which is just something you absolutely cannot do. And over the last 2 weeks, the Chargers have done it like crazy.
Turnovers will kill you. There's no more evidence than what happened to Phillip Rivers. I mean, he's not very good in space when he's running the ball. Yeah, he had a couple of decent runs in this game, but you know, when he's in a crowded area and he tries to climb the pocket and he doesn't have space, he's kind of awkward. And, you know, J.J. Watt, I think, hit him and knocked the ball out, and he fumbled and coughed up the football, and the Texans took it and they capitalized. And, you know, that's what happens. You know, you turn the ball over, you're going to lose ball games. And that definitely contributed to this loss.
Yeah, and you're right. They did capitalize. In the next drive, the Texans continued to throw the ball over all over the field and ended up with another tight end touchdown, this time from the second-year player Akins, for 15 yards to make it 21-17. So just like that, you come out of halftime, you're up by 10 points, and that quickly after some mistakes, you're down 21-17. So the Chargers on the next drive, when they really needed to get something going offensively and keep their defense off of the field, get to the 50-yard line, but then miss passes on second and third down and have to punt. And on the next drive, the Chargers get snake bitten again when Rayshon Jenkins snags an interception. But this time they called Desmond King for a face mask penalty where he grazed the face mask of Deshaun Watson, gives them 15 yards instead of an interception going the other way. They call offsetting penalties. They replay the down, and tough call to take right there. Another turnover that comes back after last week. Isaac Rochelle gets the strip, and that's taken back by offsetting penalties. The Chargers do it again. And of course, it leads to Deshaun Watson breaking out of a sack again for the however many times he did it in this game, because he was doing it all game. He ends up breaking the pocket. Three defenders get sucked in on him and leave their coverage responsibilities. And Deshaun Watson finds Akins again. This time, everyone down the field is way too far down the field, and he has all of the room in the world to run and goes 53 yards for a touchdown. And they miss the extra point. But just like that, you go from being up 10 to giving up 20 unanswered points in the second half, and that made it 27-17. And at that point, it seemed like the game was pretty much over. On the Chargers would come back and end up getting three on a possession where on third and one, they ran the most predictable play again, John. On third and one, they end up running the play they've done basically on every third and one so far this year. Derek Watt, fullback dive up the middle. They don't get it. And on fourth and one, they decide to kick the field goal, make it a 7-point game. But in my opinion, John, I thought they should have went for it there, even though they put the points on the board.
You can make the argument that they should have gone for it. I mean, either way, it would have been the right choice. Even if they miss fourth down conversion, it would still have been the right choice because it's fourth and one at the 25. But going for the points, it was also a good choice because you have time to make a stop and make a drive out of it. Mm-hmm. But the Derek Watt play is so predictable. It's not so much that you're doing it at fourth and one or third and one, whatever they do it. It's that you bring in Forrest Lamp when you do it every time, and you have that extra lineman. And Forrest Lamp is always reported eligible, so it's not like you're sneaking him out there. Every time he comes on, the referee is going 77 is eligible, so they know he's there, which means this is probably going to be a Derek Watt fullback run. It's gotten predictable now. This has a lot of these plays today, where if you watch a lot of these plays today, the Texans are literally mirroring the Chargers receivers because they know exactly where they're going. Could that be because of Jahlil Adai? Could be, but it's also the same exact plays every single game, the first three games of the year.
It is. And to me, I think you give it to a running back right there. I know it's revisionist history, but maybe give it to one of the guys who knows how to read what's happening in front of him. I think part of it is Anthony Lynn's thought process that the Chargers can run the ball at people even when they know it's coming, and I think that's a little bit unwarranted. So they do get the ball back because Joey Bosa bails out the Chargers offense and gets a sack on third and nine, the second sack of the day after the Texans had given up four sacks or more in eight straight games. The Chargers could not get Deshaun Watson on the ground, but they do here. The Chargers get the ball back, drive down the field on 4th and 13. They decide to go for it even though they have a chance to get the ball back. I really like that decision. Anthony Lynn had already burned a timeout by challenging a non-pass interference call against Keenan Allen. It was a really good call by the refs. I hated that challenge flag. They end up using another one to make sure they have the right play on 4th and 13. And Keenan Allen just makes another miraculous catch to keep the Chargers drive going. They move the ball pretty well, but once again, another drive gets derailed by a penalty. This time again, it was Dan Feeney who gets called for another holding call on a play that would have been a first down to Mike Williams. That would have moved the chains for the Chargers, kept the drive going, even though time was running out. They had a chance to do that. They don't get it. And then once again, the Chargers find themselves on third and long and fourth and long, trying to make a play to win the game, and Phillip Rivers can't connect with Dontrell Inman on fourth down. He actually had him open. It was not a great throw by Phillip Rivers, and the Chargers lose once again, giving up another second half lead and blowing another game that they absolutely should have won in the second half. So the Chargers fall to 1-2, like we've told you. But we do have one more segment talking about just the game-changing moments of this game and what exactly led to the Chargers dropping another game that they should have never dropped. But we do have one more segment to get into talking about the exact game-changing moments in this game and what the Chargers did exactly to let another game slip away. But first, I need to tell you guys that we are excited to be partnering back up with Metro Infinity in Los Angeles, just off the 210 in Monrovia. You got to swing by their brand new multi-million dollar facility and check out the amazing selection of new and used cars. They're the only dealer in California that is family owned and have been in business for over 25 years. They are the number one volume dealer in California. And one of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity is if you don't like coming into the dealership, there's no problem with that at all because they will bring the new car and paperwork to your home or office to complete the whole transaction. If you mention that you heard this ad on the Locked On Chargers podcast, they will give you another $500 off any car purchase. They take pride in not being your typical car dealer where it takes hours to buy a car. They don't play games. They want their customers to have a luxury car buying experience, and it doesn't get any better than Metro Infinity. Trust me, guys, these guys get it. If you are thinking about a new Infiniti or even in the market for any new car, please give them a chance to earn your business. Believe me, you won't regret it. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or at metroinfinity.com. All right, guys, time to get into the last segment talking about all of the big plays in this game and the plays that ended up leading the Chargers to another close game that they cannot pull off. So, John, I'll start with you because I know me and you have had a huge problem with the Chargers getting lucky in a lot of the games that they won last year and even getting lucky in the first game this year against the Colts, and just saying that at some point the luck was going to run out and you weren't going to get the bounces that you needed in these close games. And if you continue to not finish off another team and put your foot on their throat and keep the pedal to the metal offensively and put teams away, you're going to have these kind of losses happen. And once again, there were just so many plays you can look at, John, that absolutely led to the Chargers losing this game.
There is, and a lot of it can be looked at as penalties, probably. You get a good play and penalty. Now we're third and long, second and long, and that good play is now leading to a punt. And we have touchdowns that are doing that. We had against the Lions. We had one today. It's pretty ridiculous how we still have an offensive line getting holding penalties, but we don't put Forrest Lamp in yet. And I would like to say that this is not a big play, but I would say a big decision that is wrong with this game is the fact that we never made a substitution anywhere in this game to help fix a problem like Roderick Teamer or putting in Forrest Lamp. Somebody needs to get substituted out to fix a situation. There was no Nazir Adley getting put in. When is Anthony Lynn going to finally go, you know what, this isn't working, let's try something new instead of I have faith in this?
100%. They've been reluctant to change ever since. I mean, Forrest Lamp got drafted. We've had the same issues with this coaching staff refusing to put the best players in the game. And if you want to tell me that you don't think Nazir Adderley could have helped in a game where you gave up over 300 passing yards, if you don't think that Drew Tranquil could have helped when you're playing all of this zone coverage and getting diced up by Deshaun Watson and not having a guy that can stay in there and get after him athletically, I just think the Chargers coaching staff once again has really failed itself by having a lot of injuries but not having some of your best players on the field that can directly contribute to those injuries. I mean, you have a guy like Russell who can go down. I know it's your left tackle, but you have an offensive lineman that can help you in Forrest Lamp. You have a safety go down. You have a guy that could potentially help you in Nazir Adderley on the bench. It just didn't make a lot of sense because the Chargers did really well in this game against the run, like we told you, but against the pass, they were just really spread out and dissected by Deshaun Watson. They were not helped by their defensive line, who could not stay committed to their pass rushing lanes and let Deshaun Watson escape from way too many sacks in this game, David. And when you're going up against an offensive line that has been abused like the Texans' offensive line has been over the last two seasons, there's no excuse why the Chargers' defensive line should not have had maybe five or six sacks in this game. The two sacks are not very impressive when you think about all of the missed opportunities that had a big influence in the Chargers losing this game.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't understand why they could not wrap up and bring Deshaun Watson to the ground. Also, if you would have told me that the first sack would have came from the 34-year-old Brandon Mebane, then you definitely would have won that bet, because there's no way I would have guessed that. But yeah, two sacks. I mean, we knew before this game going in that you had to put Deshaun Watson on the ground, and they just were not able to corral him and put him on the ground. Too many times he was extending plays, and he was making plays happen because of that. It didn't work. The Chargers got to switch it up. I also think there was a lot of drops on the offensive side. Way too many. I mean, especially one just sticks out like a sore thumb to me, and it's the big, long, you know, throw to Travis Benjamin where he dropped it in the end zone. That's just absolutely inexcusable, and I'm at the end of my rope with Travis. I think it's time to let him go.
Well, and the problem is that you already basically guaranteed all of his money from this year when you gave him that extension that was really mind-boggling at the time. But yes, you're right. That was a huge play in this game that we didn't get to in the recap. Travis Benjamin had a fingertip grab in the end zone, a long bomb from Phillip Rivers with about 2 minutes left that could have potentially tied the game with a point after. He misses it. He had a couple of times in this game where you could call him drops, you could call him good plays by the defense, but Travis Benjamin had chances to make plays in this game, and what he did was a couple of drops and really having the game on his shoulders to some extent, because it really killed me seeing him grab at his hamstring after he drops that ball in the end zone. I just like, really? What? You hurt? That's why you dropped it? I just, it has to make Charger fans sick to see that. And Sean Colkin had a big drop in this one. There's a couple really big drops by the Chargers again for the second consecutive week, and that's a really big problem. But John, we talked about Forrest Lamp a little bit and not having him out there, and I think that was another thing that got exposed in this game. A lot of people were saying how good the Chargers offensive line played last week, Dan Feeney being the highest rated offensive lineman by Pro Football Focus last week. Well, John, that offensive line got a big time reality check in this game against a defensive line that has a guy like J.J. Watt on it, but you knew where it was coming from. It was Whitney Mercilus and J.J. Watt, and even then, you couldn't stop it. And after a week where they only gave up one sack, it really showed how bad this offensive line can be, John, in this game. They got absolutely abused, and that's going to keep dictating how the Chargers play offensively and how they perform in these games when you have an offensive line like this with guys who can't really play, young, inexperienced players, the same in the secondary. But the offensive line, after a good showing last week, once again showed that it's one of the worst units in the NFL.
Well, last week was basically a case of a broken clock is right twice a day. Every now and then that offensive line's going to have their day. They're going to have a good game because it happens. You're not going to be a failure 100% of the time, but you're not going to be successful 100% of the time. So just because they had one good game doesn't really mean much. Today showed what this offensive line is really about. This is what they are. This is who Trent Scott, Dan Feeney, Mike Pouncey, Michael Schofield, and Sam Tevi are. Now, is it all of their faults? No, I don't think you could blame Mike Pouncey for a lot of this, but Schofield got absolutely destroyed today. Tevi got destroyed. Trent Scott got penalties. Dan Feeney looked out of place whenever they did a stunt. There was one play where J.J. Watt actually went from the outside all the way to the opposite side to Feeney's side. He lined up on Tevi's side and went all the way to Feeney's side and just stormed Feeney. And Feeney was getting driven back like he was nothing. It was really embarrassing to watch Feeney get pushed all the way back to Phillip Rivers and Rivers having to run for his life. Feeney has no leg power. How he got that rating last week is beyond me. This offensive line needs Forrest Lamp and a free agent, or this is going to be another 4-12 year.
Yeah, I'm not willing to put my name on 4-12 yet, because the Chargers in every game have had the opportunities to win it. They just haven't done it. And I could see that continue. Like you're saying, you have guys coming back, but for the offensive line, those numbers aren't even including the times Phillip Rivers, I mean, laid in some dimes when he absolutely got drilled a second afterwards. And hey, where are all the roughing the passers for Phillip Rivers? Oh, you'll never get those calls. And I know that sounds salty, but it's just true. Phillip Rivers gets crushed all the time, and he never sniffs one of those flags because of the type of quarterback that he is. The stationary, can't really move around too well. He doesn't get those calls. But the other thing for this game, and we'll talk about it more with what went wrong on tomorrow's show, but having only really one wide receiver threat really hurt the Chargers in this game. And even Keenan Allen's monstrous game couldn't bail them out. But we'll get more into this game tomorrow, unfortunately. But that is going to do it for today's show. Another shout out to Vivid Seats for sponsoring today's show. If you guys want to go to any live event, make sure you go to Vivid Seats to get those tickets that are 100% guaranteed. And you can even save up to $100 with the discount code KICKOFF, all caps. But we'll talk to you guys later. Until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. And if you guys want to vent about this loss against the Texans, make sure to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line at 323-524-7924. All right, guys, we will talk to you tomorrow. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back with you to break down more. But until then, take it easy and go Bolts.